to the fifth annual Convention Horror Stories panel. Clearly, you're just looking for a comfortable seat on a Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
And you found your way here, and we're very happy to see you.
I apologize in advance.
I apologize for Katie in advance. My left, Katie Cook, the wondrous writer of My Little Pony. Wholesome fare for all ages.
Yay.
Until after this panel. I'm Jim Zub. I'm the writer of Samurai Jack, Skull Kickers, and Wayward. And 5 years ago, Jim Demonakos, the gentleman that organizes this convention, we would go out for, I don't know if you know this, comic people drink.
A lot.
So we would go out for drinks, and he said, oh, your convention stories are so funny, and I think you should really tell people about them. And I said, I will never say those in daylight.
Which is why we're in a room without windows.
And those are all three pint stories, but we're not drunk. Mm-hmm. But we've been telling people the truth about conventions, yeah. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wondrous, the terrible, for 5 years, and for some reason, you people really enjoy this. And we are thankful and slightly afraid. So, it is now a bit of a tradition. So we're going to tell you some terrible things. We're going to tell you some wonderful things. We're all going to enjoy this conventure together.
Yes.
And at the end of it, we will all leave here a little worse for wear.
And you will be afraid of the person sitting next to you.
Even if you know them. All right. So, a little bit of an origin story. How long have you been conventioning?
I have been going to comic book conventions for over 10 years now. Oh, my God. I can't even keep a Tamagotchi alive. And I have been this dedicated to comic books. That's terrifying.
How many conventions do you think you've gone to over the years?
Between like 16 and 18 a year. I did 18 last year.
Wow.
And I'm doing another because I'm popular, Jim.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I take it.
People want to talk to me
for
some reason.
That's amazing.
For some reason.
See, I do between 12 and 14 a year. And I've been doing this for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I have the scars to prove it. I love conventions. I love seeing people. I love interacting with peers and readers and all of you wondrous people. And as we've said before, 99.9% of the people at conventions are amazing.
And
they're wonderful.
And
enriching to our lives. But those are not as memorable for some horrible, horrible reason.
It's that 0.1%.
That spackle onto your soul with the darkness that can only come.
And when people say, how was your convention? You're like, ah!
Yeah, but it's amazing. You do remember heartwarming things, but for some reason, the weird ones just fucking stick with you.
Those are the ones I tell my mom.
Oh, they're, by the way, if there are children here...
Oh my God, there's a warning label. Why?
It's really important that you know that when you're a professional in the industry, you shouldn't fucking swear.
At all.
So this panel didn't happen, and we're not saying these things, and this guy's not recording it.
There are many things that you do not bring up.
Never.
In comics.
Ever.
You do not bring up drugs. You do not bring up sex. And
we're
you
not
do not bring up the Holocaust.
What? And you do not bring up,
These are the rules for all ages comics, by the way.
And the writers of My Little Pony and Disney's Figment are here to tell you wholesome all ages stories of conventions.
And when you leave this room, we told nothing but fluffy bunny tea party stories.
And even that's fucked up. All right, so.
Why are the bunnies drinking tea and how do they hold the cup?
Nice.
It doesn't work.
So, can I open?
Yes.
So, we usually open up. We want you to know, first of all, that we're also fucking idiots.
Yes.
So, I'll tell you an embarrassing story from this convention last year that I did here, okay? And every time we say at the end of the, please don't be the people we just talked about. Don't become a story. Don't do this thing. But we do dumb shit all the time. All the time. So I'll give you an example. So a dear friend of mine, a guy named Chip Zdarsky, he does a book called Sex Criminals. Also wholesome family fare.
Yes.
And we were going to be on a panel last year, Chip and Matt Fraction and Curtis Weeb from Rat Queens, all these guys about comedy and comics. super excited about it. We're getting ready for the panel, and I promised myself, okay, you guys have heard of ConCrud, right? The diseases that you all carry. This place is a beautiful, incredible gathering of people. It's also a goddamn petri dish. And so the disgusting diseases you have carried with you your entire life will enter my body, and then I will go through an apocalyptically terrible sickness for about a week after the show, usually while I'm on the plane heading to another show.
To give it to other people.
Right, and you're a walking disease factory. And I am too. So I keep telling myself, this is the year I will not get sick. And so last year I was like militant. I'm not going to shake hands. I'm not going to hug people. I'm not going to touch anyone. I'm just going to like wave and shoulder bump and fist bump and
you're gonna wear your Howard
do the
Hughes
double guns and shit. I will just not get sick. And so you keep this promise for minutes, at least minutes at a time. So I'm trying really hard. It just instinctively, someone holds out their hand. You're not just going to slap it away. So someone holds out their hand, and you do it, and you're like, ah, oh, fucking shit. So, but then you're shaking their hand, and you're sweating, you know, like, it's terrible. And then you get the Purell, and, you know, it's great to meet you, too. Yeah, no, it's awesome. So I'm getting ready to go into the panel, and Matt Fraction walks up. And I think I've met him two or three times, and he gives that look of, I've never met you. So I'm just like, hey, you know, I'm Jim. Jim's up. He goes, oh, great, man. Hand comes out. And I grab the hand, shake, trying to not, you know, recoil, because I don't want to get sick, not because of Matt Fraction. And so I shake his hand real firmly, awesome, great. And then like 20 seconds later, Chip comes bounding in, because it's Chip. And he looks over at me, he's like, hey, buddy. And he just holds out his hand. And for some reason, I go, oh, no, I'm not shaking hands. Right in front of Matt Fraction. And he goes, what? And Matt goes, what? And I go, no, I'm just trying not to get sick. And Matt goes, oh, you're sick and you shook my hand? And I go, no, 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 I mean, I'm not sick. I'm just trying not to get sick. And Chip goes, oh, so you shook his fucking hand. We're not friends. I'm like, no, dude, I'll shake your... No, now I don't want to fucking shake your hand. And Matt's giving the look like, this is your buddy? I'm like, no, I mean, I'm cool, I'm good. We're friends. I like your work. Please don't. And they just wander off like, ugh. And those are the things that happen in the moment. And you think to yourself, I'm a tool.
Yeah.
After all these years, I should be better at this shit. I should be able to speak to people and interact with people. No, you can still fuck this up every single day.
It's you know, it's part of the territory. It's like, because being in comics, you're still a comics fan, and there are people in this industry that I am destined, no matter if I meet them once or 100 times, to make an asshole of myself in front of. Oh my god. And this happened at Long Beach Comic Con just a few weeks ago. I was sitting next to Stan Sakai. Stan Sakai does Usagi Yojimbo. It's been around forever. And he's the sweetest, nicest, most adorable little man you've ever met. And the only thing I can ever do, even though we've met 100 times, is look at him and go, hi! You're Stan! I love you! And it's like every time, it's like, you are such a big influence over my work. And then he like wanders away like I'm a psychopath. And then,
I'm sure you're perfectly healthy.
Yay, hi, Stan, can I have some of your hair? And he asked me, like, really briefly, he went, hey, Katie, what's the best way to get to the Marriott out of this convention center? And, like, I had this little line of people, and I ignored all of them. Yeah. Because I was like, well, okay, here you go. You're going to go out that door. And I was very prompt, and I was very energetic. And then he left, and I turned to this, like, thing of 10 people, and I went, Stan Sakai just asked me for directions to the Marriott. Do you realize that he used my name? Like, it's not like it's on a banner fucking behind me, guys. Like, no, it's like, he knows me. And I called my husband that night, and he was like, you know, how's the show? And I went, Stan Sakai asked me for directions to the Marriott. And he just, there was this long pause, and he was like, you do know that you've talked to him like 100 times. And every time, you're an asshole. He's like, you act like the person who's 13 that just went like, hi, me, hi, It's like, that's me. And there's like a list of 15 creators. It doesn't matter. It's like, it's horrible. It's awful. It's social awkwardness at its finest.
And we do it.
And you can't grow out of it.
No. No. There's a few people that they just melt your mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. You meet them for that first time and they melt your mind. This is the classic story. I'll tell the really quick version of it. So some of you guys have heard this. How many of you have been here to this panel before?
Yeah, how many?
Okay.
Oh, we got lots
of newbies.
All
right,
you
got some newbies. Okay, that's good too. So,
I hope you like repetition.
No, no, we're not going to repeat. Most of these are new. Most of these are new, but this one's classic. So, when I met Neil Gaiman for the first time, now Neil's Sandman was like super informative to me when I was a teenager and a gothy kid and the darkness of my soul of going through puberty and all that sort of stuff and the dreams and lightness of being and poetry and cute goth chick death. So, I really, really, really love Sandman and I had, you know, read his stuff like crazy. When I finally got a chance to meet him, that was just a fucking ridiculous story. So there was going to be this is San Diego, 2003. And there was supposed to be a charity event at the show. Not at the show, sorry, after the show. And they were like, oh, it's the CBDLF. And they're going to have this incredible event. And there's going to be Frank Miller and Neil Gaiman and Jim Lee and all those big names of the industry. They're going to be at this party. And you go there and I'm like, okay, where is it? It's at this Irish pub called the Dublin Square that's in San Diego downtown. And I was like, okay, we're going. Oh, my God, we got to go. This is going to be the greatest thing ever. And I have some stupid vision, like I'm going to walk in and Neil Gaiman is just going to be, like, hanging out with nothing to do. Like, I don't know. So I go to the thing, and it's goddamn packed. It's fucking insane. It's completely wall-to-wall people. You could have body surfed to the bathroom. And I get in there, and I go to order a drink, and the drinks are double priced because half of it goes to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which is great, but I'm a poor, 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 poor student. And so a $20 beer seems like a expensive thing to me still. And so I get this $20 beer, and I'm just nursing this thing, but I'm crushed against all these people. And I'm like, where is Frank Miller, Neil Gaiman, Will Eisner, you know, like, oh, where are all these people? And they're like, oh, they're upstairs. I'm like, oh, this is the second floor. And I go to the stairs, and there's bouncers in front of the stairs, and they're basically like, oh, no, that's for VIPs. I'm like, oh, so I'm at the same building as Stan Lee and Neil Gaiman and Frank Miller. They're standing above me. Well, that's not a very exciting event. So I'm like, okay, well, this kind of sucks. I gotta get out of here. I'm getting a little claustrophobic. There's too many fucking people, and everyone's loud, and it's $20 beers, and I'm not gonna get to meet my heroes. So I start sort of trying to get out, but more people are trying to get in. We've clearly broken fire code at this point. It's a fucking nightmare. And so I'm trying to shove my way out, and I'm getting more annoyed, and I'm just like, look, if you let me out, you can come in and die in here, and I can go out there. And so I'm just sort of pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and finally I just stop even looking. And I head down and start pushing my way out, and then I shoulder check Scott McCloud. And I would have knocked him down flat, except he just fell into a crowd and just sort of stood there because there was nowhere to go. And Scott's a good friend of mine, thank God. So he looks at me and goes, oh, Jim, oh my gosh, why are you in a hurry? And I was like, oh, Scott, oh God, I'm so sorry. We're leaving. This party sucks. It's not working properly. He's like, oh, I'll come with you. I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, I just need to say hi to some people first. I'm like, who? Oh, Neil and Will and Stan and Jim. And I'm like, oh, well, they're all upstairs. You can't get up there. And he just goes, oh, okay. And he just starts moving his way towards the stairs. And I said, Scott, I'm going to lose you. The crowd's too thick. He goes, well, grab my shoulder. So my friend Ray Fox, the writer of Batman Eternal now, everyone comes around. So he grabs my shoulder, and we do this little daisy chain, and we make our way to the stairs. And the bouncers at the stairs go, oh, Mr. McCloud. They just let him upstairs. He gets halfway upstairs. He looks back and he goes, oh, those guys are with me. So we walk upstairs and I just feel like a complete fucking fraud. We're just looking around like I'm waiting for the comic police to go, you're not meant to be here. And so, but we just sit there, and upstairs is amazing. They got waitered service, normal priced beers, and they have tables and places to sit, and everyone's hanging out. It's everyone, the who's who of comics, and us. And so I grab a table, and we sit down, and Scott's like, oh, well, we'll just stay here and grab a beer. It'll be great. And I'm just like, oh, okay. So we sit down for a second, and he says, is there anyone you want to meet? And Ray goes, Jim wants to meet Neil Gaiman. I'm like, like, well, no, I mean, that would be really cool. And he goes, oh, Neil's like a dear personal friend of mine. He's like the godfather of my children and stuff. Like, he's at the christening and stuff. Like, hey, we're down. I'm just like, okay, yeah, great. And he says, yeah, no, it'd be my pleasure to introduce you. And this literally happens. I said, well, I need some liquid courage. I'm going to need a beer because I got to build myself up. I don't know if I can do this properly. And Scott is going, oh, really? While he's nodding, Neil Gaiman's coming up behind me. And he reaches over like this. He just goes, oh, hello, Scott. Like this, right? And just, Neil Gaiman. I just go, oh, like this, right? Oh, God. Oh, no. Like this, right? And I sort of look over, and I'm just shocked to shit. Like, I can't deal. And so Neil's all like, oh, hello. You know, like this. And Scott goes, these are my friends, Ray and Jim. And Ray goes, oh, I'm a big fan of your work. Great to meet you. And I look up at him, and I just go, hi. And he shakes my hand, and he goes, oh, hello, my name's Neil. And I'm like, uh-huh. He goes, I'm a writer. And I want to say, your work changed my life. I would not be a writer if it wasn't for you. You helped me get through some of the hardest years of my life, and you changed me. You're one of the greatest writers I've ever seen. But my mouth says, oh, yeah? And then we have this pregnant pause, and then he goes, oh, it's great to see you, Scott. And he just walks off. And I'm sitting there, and Scott McCloud is like everyone's dad. He's like a nice old man. And up till that point, I'd never heard him swear. And he just looks over me and he goes, whoa, Jim, you lost your shit. Understanding comics guy said, you lost your shit. So he looks in, and I'm just like, oh, ashen face, and Ray is fucking howling. He's like, oh, man, that was brutal. I'm like, no, I can't deal with this. This is the worst thing ever. But Scott, he's really good at teaching things and summing up ideas. He said, you have to go talk to him. I said, I'm not fucking talking to him. Are you crazy? That was the worst thing ever. He goes, it wasn't that bad. You're over-exaggerating. I'm like, no, that was the worst. That was the worst thing I could possibly do. He goes, look, champ. He's right over there. After he finishes that conversation, just go up and talk to him. I said, I can't. And he goes, if you don't, will you regret it? Fuck you, Scott McCloud. Boom, down a beer. Okay, we're going to do this. And I walk over to him, and I said, excuse me, Mr. Gaiman. And he looks over and he goes, oh, call me Neil. My father's Mr. Gaiman. Oh, you witty British bastard. I'm just like... Neil, look, I really do know your work. I'm a huge fan. I finished reading American Gods like 2 weeks ago. It was amazing, and I'm just so... Your work means a lot to me. And he goes, oh, really? And we talked for 15 minutes about American Gods, and we talked about Sandman, and he was the most delightful, polite gentleman. And at the very end of it, I asked Ray to take a photo. It's one of my favorite convention photos of all time. It's me and Neil Gaiman arm in arm like we're drinking buddies. I swear to God, he has a shirt on that says, believe in your dreams. And I'm doing this. And that's what it's like to meet celebrities. Well,
see, you at least have a story where you have redeemed yourself. It's, I had a moment, it was at San Diego Comic-Con, and, of course, like you do when you're my age, you're just walking down the street texting because I had to get back to my hotel room, and I was just trying to get back, and I look up, and down the street comes John Lasseter and Hayao Miyazaki talking to each other, and they part to go around me because I'm standing there like an idiot going, huh? Me on either side and then continue their conversation. And
there was
all,
a little sparkling magic.
It was. There was like little birds and suns and stars and magic like just sparkling behind them as they left. And the only thing I could do is I kind of put my phone like down like this and I turned around and went, hey!
You're good at this.
And that's when they sped up a little bit. And it was just that moment of, at least I saw them.
At least I gave them a momentary scare.
At least
that means something. Our paths crossed.
At least they thought they were about to get mugged by a small blonde Canadian. That works for me. I'm fine.
Okay, so we've talked about we're fools. Mm-hmm. They're truly convinced that we're idiots.
Because we are.
We should we should tell them that some there are some fans that are idiots.
There are. Oh God.
Say, do you want me to go first? Do you want to go? You can say a short one.
I would like to tell a small story because this actually happened on the way to a convention, but it's still stuck in my mind that I have to share it because you can't not after you hear this. So on my way to Long Beach, I got upgraded to first class, which is the most badass thing that can happen to you in your entire life. It's amazing. And I was sitting next to a guy that may as well have come from a convention.
You have multiple children.
I do.
And you said the most amazing thing in your life was just like...
Yeah. It's first class on a five-hour flight. Come on.
Okay, a five-hour flight.
Yeah,
okay.
It's long. Detroit to L.A. is long. I mean, I see my kids every day. They do not bring me free drinks. You know, in first class, instead of being like, here, have a peanut, and they throw it at your head, they bring a nice little wicker basket, a round of snacks.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they're like, what would you like? And the guy next to me, who was, you know, convention worthy, points in the basket and he goes, what's that? And the flight attendant looks at him and says, that's a banana, sir. And he went, oh, I'm not feeling adventurous today. So I spent the entirety of Long Beach Comic Con noticing every banana in someone's hand going, ah, the banana, the rich man's fruit.
That's a good one.
And it's just like, who doesn't know what a banana is?
I think that's pretty... precious.
But now it's at conventions, it's like, because it's the go-to fruit everybody has, but now I'm stuck on it. Just every single banana I see go by, it's like banana, 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 banana.
It's trapped in your mind. Yeah.
It's not like it was a cashew. I can understand maybe someone going, what kind of nut is that? I've never seen that. But, you know, if you've been a baby... I mean, it wasn't like he wasn't ethnic or anything. He was a white male.
I think you're just assuming. Maybe he has a very, very strange history you just do not understand. Clearly he does.
He's all Kimmy Schmidt. He's been in a bunker his whole life. First venture outside, and he's amazing.
Banana.
The banana. Banana.
Three nas. All right. So Washington, D.C., beautiful city I'd never been before. It's a show there called Awesome Con.
Yep.
It's pretty apt title. It's actually a really, really good show. But I have a couple stories, and one of them, unfortunately, was not awesome. It was kind of awesome. It was awesome. So the show, you get your slow periods. You have your really busy, bustling times, and you have slow times. And I'm just sort of hanging out there, and this guy comes over. He wasn't fat, and he wasn't thin. But he had no muscle definition. He was just sort of shapes. He was just like a pudding of a man. He just sort of greasily shambled his way towards me. And he looked over, and he just looked at my banner, and he looked at me, and he goes, can I show you my comic? That's the most loaded statement on
it
Earth,
is.
Right? So I'll show you a portfolio. They want to show you their work. I want to give feedback. I want to, but there are other times where I'm burnt out, or I'm exhausted, or I'm terrified that what you're going to show me is not so hot. And so I just looked around. I'm looking for another person to sell stuff to or someone to talk to. Some reason I could make an excuse why I couldn't look at this guy's thing. No one. Like, everyone had parted. They knew that I was going to get this moment. And so I just looked. I said, yeah, okay. And he pulls out this spiral-bound sketchbook. He puts it down in front of me. Have you guys seen Seven?
Yeah.
Do you remember in the opening credits the guy's notebook? His, like, murder book? And I just opened this thing up, and it's spiraling tiny text of him writing about these vengeance plans against everyone. Page after page of death and destruction and horrifying mandates of his own design and strange, scrawled, grotesque things. And I'm just looking at this page after page. But it's not even really a comic. It's just sort of hell in a book.
And if you say anything bad, you're the new page.
So I'm looking at this thing, and I'm getting deeper and deeper, and I'm like, I'm in America. Everyone's got a gun. This guy's probably got a gun. He's here at the convention. He's got a murder book, and he's got a gun, and he's made of shapes, and he could just put a gun in the folds of his jello. I started looking at him and I was like, what kind of feedback are you looking for? Because I wanted to get a sense. I just wanted some sort of stake in the ground I could work from. And he looks at me and he stops. And he just goes, fucking cold. And he goes, I want you to tell me it's perfect in every way. So I look down at the book and I summon up every bit of courage in my heart so I don't pee. And I look at him and I go, hey man, this is perfect in every way. Yes. Thank you. And he shambles off into the forever. And I imagined later on in the day, if he had gone through that place with a gun and shot everyone, it just would have been, thank you. I really was there to save my own life.
There are people that we meet that have just like no boundaries. And, you know, I'm a writer and an artist. And every once in a while, I get a request that is like, I am a mom. I'm a lady in some aspects. What is wrong with you?
And no boundaries.
It was at a convention a couple years ago, and I get requests like this a lot. Oh my God. But this guy came up to me, and he went, hey, I'm trying to get a commission done. I was like, all right, what do you want? And he's like, I would like a drawing, like, plain as day. Like, this is normal. He's like, I would like Wile E. Coyote hammering the Roadrunner. And I kind of looked at him, and I went, like with the hammer? And I was like, why? And he's like, oh, it's a gift from my dad. It's a joke. That doesn't make it better. You are making this worse. Stop.
All I can imagine, you finish it just right at the top. He finally got him.
Yeah. And when I was like, very plainly, I'm sorry, sir, I don't do those. Well, why not? Like, that was his reaction. I was like, I work on children's books, and this might not really fit the aesthetic of that. And then he went, well, you don't need to put your name on it. And it was just this, like, it's like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? And my husband, like, thank God, was at that show with me, and he's just like, like, high and dry. He was just like, he wants to see what I'm gonna do with this. And I looked over at him like, and he was just like, he finally leaned over. He's like, I'm sorry, sir. Why don't you try this person? And he, like, named
Just pass it along.
He named a person that was at the same convention. And he was like, yeah. Fine. And then later that night, we were talking to him. And he went, did you guys send someone over to my table telling them that I would draw this? And it was like, Brian did. Brian, no. And maybe I may have done it every time since when somebody gives me a request like that.
There was a guy that would go around one of the Toronto shows, and he became infamous sort of at a bunch of the shows. He would always ask for a similar request. And we used to love it because we would all go out, a bunch of us would go out for dinner. Whenever there was like a new guest to the show that's first time in Toronto, they would need to be initiated. This person would get a commission. They would always come over. And you could tell, because we'd be out for dinner that night, and the new person, whoever they were, whatever guest, they would just, you know, conversation would be going, oh, how was your day? Oh, it was good. I had the fucking weirdest commission today. And we're like, oh, do tell. No, you don't even know. Oh, really? No, so whatever character you're famous for, whoever it was, Wonder Woman, a female character, Wonder Woman or Catwoman or other things that end with woman, they would just whatever, or girl, or whatever, Batgirl, Superwoman girl. So they would just get these requests, and it would always be that character that you're known for, but trapped in glue. And it would be better if it was bare feet, and if they could be pressed into the glue.
Yep.
And I was like, so we became known as the glue guy. And some of the artists would just be like, no, fuck you. And then other people would be like, I mean, I oh, I never, okay. And there were some weird ones. There were some really strange ones over the years. There was one I saw of Mara, and it was like she was coming out of a wave of glue, and there was a big Elmer's bottle beside it.
You know? Yeah, you gotta add the
just
bottle.
To clarify, no, it's fucking glue, dude. I don't know what you're thinking, you know. But there were some really bizarre, so one guy, one friend of mine, he did one, but he just did a glue stick. It was like a glue stick. Sorry, that's all I could put together for you. He looked kind of pissed off about that.
Oh, well, it's... Oh, my God, it happens.
The glue guy. I just imagine how many of these he had.
I've seen the sketchbook. There's a sketchbook.
Yeah.
And because I was looking through it because I had that request, and it was like...
She knows. Ah, the glue guy.
I'm good. My list is full. But thank you for letting me look at it.
Thank you for this experience.
It's like, this is all I needed. I got one. Somebody asked me to draw sexy Star Wars once, and they all just right. said, anything you want, sexy
just put
Star Wars.
R2-D2 in a bikini.
What I did, and because, you know, I've done a lot of stuff for Lucasfilm, I did Porkins. With his flight suit unzipped down to the navel, and him gingerly lifting the flight suit back to reveal a very hairy chest and a giant gut. And it's one of my favorite reactions from when I've handed over a commission, because it was a big book, and he paid a lot of money for it. And I just kind of, and I mean, he had like a Mark Brooks and an Adam Hughes and all this beautiful stuff in there, and I handed it over, and he like opened it up, and there was this pause. And he just went, you know, Katie, one day I'm going to learn to be more specific with you.
I'm glad he took it. That's good. That's good stuff.
He took it in stride. And to this day, because it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, he's like, that's the one that everybody pauses on. And that's the one that gets the most comments. And
so
I was like,
good.
Thank God. Because part of me was like, I'm going to have to give him his money back. I should not have drank a lot before I drew this. Because it was really funny at 3 in the morning.
Sometimes you view other people going through bizarro experiences at conventions. You see people, I don't know, they're on their own sort of track, I think. Like they go to a show with very specific missions, maybe the glue sketchbook, or they're you know, they're coming to find specific things. I find it fascinating, though. I mean, we're all fans, right? Fanatics. We're obsessed with this stuff. And sometimes people's obsessions, I think, are pretty amazing. Tell us about, I remember your wedding album story.
Yeah. Who wants to hear about the scrapbook? Yeah. It's a good one. Because it happened right at this very convention center. This is a Seattle person.
Oh.
I'm
you're in this
sorry.
Room. It's all cool. Don't worry.
Yeah, if you're here, it's about you. But, you know, at my table, I do these little tiny paintings on demand, and it's like you list whatever you want, and then, you know, I take 2 minutes and I paint up a little
not whatever you want. I asked you for the Wiley Coyote hammering.
Yeah. And I drew it with an actual hammer.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, so she came up, and very typical request, hi, I'd like a David Tennant Doctor Who. And I looked up, and, you know, she's a little squirrely looking, and she's clutching this 12x12 white... like photo album, and she's kind of rocking back and forth a little bit, and it's fine, but she's wearing a TARDIS dress, and she's a typical Comic-Con person. It's fine. So I was drawing this David Tennant doctor, and all of a sudden she's like, I love David Tennant. And then she goes, do you want to see my scrapbook?
Oh, no.
No. The answer is always yes. Oh my God, you want to see the scrapbook. You so want to see the scrapbook. It's great. So she hands it over, and I start looking through it, and it is all stock photos that she has photoshopped herself and David Tennant into. Like, from Happy Couples. And it's very lovingly scrapbooked. It's not just the photos. It's like she did the nice pages, and there's stickers, and it's like, our day at the park. And then finally, like, I get to a part where I'm just going through, and then I get to the wedding! It was the best. And it's like, you know, my eyes are getting a little bit wider. And the guy behind her in line, he's like starting to back away. Like, oh. And then I start getting to the blank page. And that was the end of it. And she was like, this is where I'm going to put the painting that you did of our day together. And I was like, okay. So I shut the book and I finish her painting and I hand it over and she walks away. And this guy that was behind her is still wide-eyed. And I looked at him and went, I know how David Tennant dies. It's in Seattle. He should never come here. I have seen her at this show since then, and she still
has fine. She's okay.
She still has the scrapbook.
Well, that's great.
And so
I think it's important to have a mission.
Yeah, but there was just that moment of like, oh,
so
that's interesting.
Now, not every story is terrible.
No,
we have some heartwarming stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you a heartwarming story, and then because we want you to leave,
we got
to
mix
too
it in.
Terrified of your fellow conventioneers. So, from the same show, from Washington, D.C., I had one of the most heartwarmingly wonderful experiences. So, I'm at the show, and just sort of hanging out there, and things are going well. It was really great. And all of a sudden, this guy comes over, and to be 100% honest with you, I thought he was on drugs. It's a heartwarming story, don't worry. So, he comes along, and he's got this look on his face. He's just going... Everything... is a physical shock to him. And he comes over to my booth and he looks at my banner and he goes, that's you, right? Like, yeah? You're Jim Zub?
Like,
yeah, I'm Zub. Dude, I saw your name. I'm like, yeah, it's on the banner. He goes, no. I was in the subway this morning and they had these posters and it said, Awesome Con. And there's all these names on the people, famous people. You're famous, right? I know, like I'm a comic writer. No, it was in the alphabetical order. I remember because you had a Z name and Zoo. You're there on the poster. That means you're famous and you're here. Okay. And he goes, this is freaking crazy. I'm like, how did you get here? Well, okay, that's a thing, right? So I was going to go over to my girlfriend's place and grab my laundry and go to the laundromat and do my laundry. But then I saw these fucking people dressed like fucking superheroes. And knights and shit and angels wings and fucked up. And they got on the train and I thought, whatever the fuck I'm doing is not half as cool as what they are. So fuck my laundry, I'm home. They didn't notice because, like, everyone's looking at them anyways, right? So I followed them. So they got off the train and they walked down to here and they walked in. And so I walked in and they said $25. And I said, is that where they're going? And they said, yes. Yeah. So I gave the guy $25. I'm here. I said, you don't even know what this is, do you? I have no fucking idea. But it's amazing. I'm like, here, this is a convention. This is where all these people gather. They get dressed up and they get excited about stuff and they learn about things and they buy things and they meet artists. Oh, so I'm supposed to buy things? I'm like, well, all these people are selling things. I'm selling my books and they're selling artwork and that person is selling like costume stuff. Oh, okay, yeah. What if I don't do that? I'm like, well, you can go get an autograph from like famous people, like people on television or like voice actors for animation. I you know, you could go to a panel. What is that? I'm like, okay, well, there's these like information sessions about specific things. See that thing you're carrying that's got a list? I open it up, show it. See right here, it says here in 20 minutes they're gonna have a Doctor Who panel. And he goes, oh fuck, I watched that show. Yeah, it's good, right? Yeah! I said, they're one of the guys from the show is at the thing. They're going to talk about it. No! See the thing? I'm not making this shit up. Yeah. Okay, where's that? I'm like, okay, here's the map. I'm tracing. Go up those stairs. Run over there and thing. You can go to a panel. He goes, so I can do this. I'm like, go. He goes, I'm going to a panel. And he starts walking away and he's like looking at people and he goes, I'm at a convention! And people cheered for him. And I thought that was pretty much the humiliation shit out of him. So.
That's pretty great. For me, it's, you know, I work in a fandom that has its ups and downs. I'm sure everybody here is aware of the bronies. Woo! You know, 99% of the bronies are amazing, and I love them, and they're wonderful. And then 1% of you, oh my God, yeah. Guys.
Heartwarming. Yeah. Heartwarming.
Well, no, it's leading up to that.
Oh, okay.
Leading up. But, you know, it's every once in a while I get very frustrated with the fandom. Because something happens that makes me go, I don't want to write comics anymore! And, you know, you throw down your hat and you act like a spoiled teenager. But at a convention last year in Cincinnati, a little girl who was 8 years old came up to me and she just went, I really like the My Little Pony comics. They were the first comics that I ever read. And I made you my own My Little Pony comic that I wrote and I drew. And she's like, because I want to grow up to be you. And I kind of had this moment where I had to hold back, promptly bursting into tears. Because, oh my God, one, this is a terrible life goal. I feel like I should be writing a list of much better female role models. But, you know, she handed me this comic that was like 12 pages long of my pony that we put in the comics kind of in the background, moving to Ponyville and interacting with all the ponies, and it's full color, and it's actually really cute and clever, and she wrote this really nice letter on the back about how she wants to write and draw comic books because of me. And then it's like, it was just this moment of like, the moment that I had, like when I read Bone, it was like I just gave that to another kid. And it was like, no pressure. And then she very, you know, she was very meek, but she was like, and I really just want you to have it. And, you know, because I had to, like, I like scrambled over the table like a crazy person to hug her. I was like, oh my God, you're so cute, you're so sweet. And I was like stroking her hair, like, it's all gonna be okay. Advice that I'm accumulating. And then finally she like went off on her way and she was not scarred for life. But it's like, and now I have like this little like hand-drawn pony book that it's like I have it in a shadow box like up in my office, and whenever like I read something terrible about me on 4chan, it's like I look over there and I'm just like, that little kid liked me. That's fine. This is fine. You know that like that cartoon of like the dog sitting amongst the brain? It's like, this is fine. I'm good. I got stuff going for me. But that was like just this moment of like, oh, I really like my job. I'm okay with this. I don't care what happens.
And I think that's what's so really cool. When you bring together this many people with all of their craziness and all their weirdness and all your fucked up idiosyncrasies, in and beyond all of that stuff, you guys are here, and we're here because we're passionate about this stuff, and we love interacting with you. We really do, even when the glue, the things, it doesn't matter. We do,
even
no,
if
we
you
like.
Have a scrapbook.
We honestly really, it's an amazing, and it's a privilege to mm-hmm. meet people who love what you do. I had a funny, real quick one, we're going to wrap it up. I was at a signing in Annapolis, Maryland at Third Eye Comics, and this guy came over. He's like a gigantic biker, big, massive motherfucker, and he just comes over and he's like, your gym's up, I want you to sign something. I'm like, all right, and he's going to pull out Skull Kickers. I know he's going to pull out Skull. He pulls out Disney's Figment, and he pops that down in front of me, and I look at him and he goes, I go to Disney World every year with my mother, drive down on our bikes. I love Disney World. I'll check this shit out. And he just rolls up his sleeve. He's got a fucking sleeve tattoo of Disney characters all wrapped around his arm. And Figment is on the like back shoulder blade or whatever. And he goes, and I had Dreamfinder on there from your book. It's good stuff. And And I thought, well, you can never judge a book by its cover. And I always, always love doing conventions because you never cease to amaze and surprise mm-hmm. us. So, don't be a story that's terrifying.
Or do.
Don't do
we
those
We have to
things.
Do this panel again next year.
No, don't encourage them. They're just going to come over like flapping their arms and they're going to be like, I'll vomit on you.
Oh, no.
Will it make it onto the
no.
panel?
Told a story because there was a dude who came up to me and while I was drawing leaned over and started drawing little circles on my hand and was like, hey, what you doing tonight? And I told that story at this panel and so 15 people came up and did it to me after.
Oh.
And it was like, I hate every single do you know how much Purell I have to go through when I can't draw because you gotta wait for it to dry and then you're doing this
amazing.
An idiot for 5 seconds every time you meet somebody.
What we mean is you're all wonderful.
Yay!
So thank you so much for coming out. Katie, where can they find you at the show?
K-O-8.
And I'm at HH11, which it sort of looks like you're just saying hi really slowly.
Yeah, and mine looks like Kate, which is not my name. Don't call me that.
Amazing. Find us at the show. Go forth and have a wonderful convention experience.
Right.
Take care.